and I don't know what your issue is. I'm not sure what your bondage is, but I have good news for you, because I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can deliver you. There is power in the gospel.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
This week, Pastor Brian Grant continues his series through the book of the Acts, bringing an exciting message for those of us who long to see Christ made known in this world and to see his power demonstrated in the lives of those for whom we care. The title of Pastor Grant's message is The Power of the Gospel. If you have your Bibles, please turn with us to Acts chapter 16 as Pastor Grant begins to develop his message showing four ways in which the gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to do the seemingly impossible. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A hospital administrator was startled to see a patient rushing out of the operating room. And so he stopped him and he asked, Sir, tell me, why are you running away from the operating room? The patient answered, it was because of what the nurse said. So the administrator said, what did the nurse say? The patient said, the nurse said, be brave. An appendectomy is quite simple. The administrator was confused. So he said, I'm puzzled. An appendectomy really is quite simple. Shouldn't you feel comfortable knowing that it's a simple operation? The patient said, are you kidding? The nurse wasn't talking to me. She was talking to the surgeon when she said, be brave. And this morning, God is trying to say to each of us, be brave. We cannot throw out the lifeline if we're not going to be brave. And we can be brave because the message of the gospel has awesome power. Paul has been on his second missionary journey. And after a year and a half on the road, Paul is now in the city of Corinth. This was an incredible journey Paul had been having, because over and over again in every city, Paul had the thrill of leading souls to Christ. Let me ask you, have you ever had that thrill? Have you ever had the thrill of leading someone to Christ? I'm speaking to young people and older ones. This is the question of the day. Have you ever had the thrill of leading a soul to Jesus Christ, of knowing that because of something you were involved, and because of your willingness to be involved, God used you to help a soul that was heading for hell to now have a reserved seat in heaven? Have you ever had that thrill? Oh, I want to tell you, young person, you want to talk about a life of purpose, a life of meaning? Listen, there is hardly anything more thrilling than to have the privilege of leading a soul to Jesus Christ, being a part of this miracle, the miracle of regeneration. And I just want to say, as I get going this morning, what an exciting thing it would be if God allowed everyone in this place to have that privilege in 2016, where God would allow, give some of you the privilege of leading souls to Jesus Christ. Some of you who have been sitting on the bench, oh, would to God, you would have that privilege of throwing out the lifeline and having the privilege of seeing the miracle of regeneration take place. Amen? So as we begin this new year, it is my prayer that many of you will make this your prayer. God, please use me this year to be a soul winner. I hope that will be your prayer. God, use me. You may have been one of those who figured it was okay to just let them watch you live. And as you watch that little video, you realize that's not good enough. And would to God this morning, you would say, God, please use me. If you're already involved in being a soul winner, might you renew your commitment to being a soul winner in 2016. But before we get going and get to Corinth, because that's where Paul is this morning, what I want to do is to just look quickly at a couple instances to show the power of the gospel. What power does the gospel have? Can I share with you four particular illustrations in this book of the Acts that we have gone through? A couple of them we have done already, but most one we have talked about a little bit before, two we have not spoken about before, and the fourth one is right here in Corinth. Number one, what power does the gospel have? Point number one, the gospel has power to break strongholds. The gospel has power to break strongholds. In Acts 16, Paul arrived in Philippi, bringing the gospel to Europe for the first time. You remember I pointed that out to you, that the gospel got to Philippi in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, when the Apostle Paul visited Philippi. And while he was there, you remember, he had an encounter with a slave girl who was possessed by a demon spirit. Now, in our sophisticated age, many people don't even believe that there are demon spirits, but I'm here to tell you that there still are demon spirits. I shared with you some years ago an experience we had in our family. A person who visited our church was having a lot of problems. The home that she was in was being stoned by demonic spirits. And you see, some of this I wouldn't have believed if my daddy wasn't involved. And so they called the elders of the church to come over. And while my dad was there, the iron jumped right off of the iron board. The iron just lifted up and flew at him. My friend, there are demon spirits. This still happens in our generation. But many of you might not be bothered by a demon spirit, but you still may have some challenges. Let's look here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. And we're looking at verse number 18. It talks about this young lady. That she was a slave. The Bible tells us she was in slavery to these money men. In verse 18, she kept harassing Paul for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Aren't you glad there is power in the name of Jesus? Your problem might not be demons, but you might be struggling with something. I get to realize that we have all sorts of problems. There are all sorts of strongholds. Some come into our church and they have issues with drugs. There is drug addiction that's holding on to you. Some it's problems with alcohol. For some it's problems with sex. They're sex addicted. And I don't know what your issue is. I'm not sure what your bondage is, but I have good news for you, because I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can deliver you. There is power in the gospel. There is power in the gospel. And my friend, if you have come into the house of God this morning and you're struggling with some type of bondage, I want you to know that Jesus Christ can help you. Next week, I hope you'll be back, because next week I'm going to take you a step further. Salvation is the beginning. But listen, the process, there is a process that God uses to transform this person that He has saved. You see, you might be here this morning and you're saying, "Brother Brian, I'm saved and I still have some of my problem. I'm still addicted to cigarettes and I'm still addicted to this and I'm addicted to that. God has not released me yet." My friend, listen, if you don't want to follow, and I hope you're here, I better not jump ahead of my message for next week. God has a process to release you from any bondage. And the Spirit of God who comes to live inside of you the day you got saved, the Spirit of God is able to help transform you. So I'm here to tell you, my Christian friend, if you are stuck, if you are stuck at goal, it's because you want to be stuck at goal. Be here next week. And let the Spirit of God minister to you and show you how He can move you. Get you out of that rut. And where your life, because listen, God's objective is that every believer should look like Jesus. I wonder if any of us have any friends or relatives that are bound by some addiction. The song says, throw out the lifeline and have it ready, sound room, because we probably will go back to that before the service is finished. I didn't know they were singing that one, and I hadn't heard it for such a while. But what a powerful song. Throw out the lifeline. Listen, there are some of us that need to throw out the lifeline to some friends who are in bondage. You see, we Christians, we back up and we fold our arms and we say, what can I do? What can I do? My brother, my sister, my cousin, my friend, they are in bondage to this or that. What can I do? You can throw out the lifeline. Amen.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
This gospel has bondage-breaking ability. It has stronghold-breaking ability. God wants us to become more engaged. What an exciting thing it would be if God uses you to help that friend who is in bondage. But secondly, not only does the gospel have power to break strongholds, it has power to stand scrutiny. This is an unusual one, but I want to point this out to you because I think this is important. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 10. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. He was in Thessalonica and they were giving him a rough time. They sent him to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the synagogue. No, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was what? I don't want you to miss that. It says the Bereans were of more noble character because they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The Bereans didn't swallow everything Paul said despite who he was. This gospel has power to stand scrutiny. It's scary when Christian leaders encourage folks to shut off their brain and obey whatever they say. Isn't that scary? When you try to tell people, just follow me, just obey me. No, 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 no. My Bible doesn't teach that. If what we preach is the true gospel, it can stand scrutiny. Because this gospel can stand up to any test. Josh McDowell was an agnostic. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe that Jesus was God the Son. So he set out on a quest to disprove the Bible. He was determined to prove that Jesus Christ was not God the Son. But listen, he picked up the Bible and he started reading the Bible convinced he was going to show that this Bible is false. It's just full of errors and contradictions. But as he tried to find errors, he came face to face of the gospel. Amen. Josh McDowell got saved. And Josh McDowell has become one of the major defenders of the Bible on college campuses around the world. Isn't that amazing? His objective was to show how false this thing is. This Bible can stand scrutiny. And that's why I'm so glad there are some of you here in colleges and high schools and what have you. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be afraid to share this gospel with your colleagues at school. You don't have to be afraid to share this gospel with your professors. Amen? You don't have to be afraid to share this gospel with the world's greatest philosophers, because this gospel has the power to stand up to any test. If you're here this morning and you're one of those skeptics, you're here and you're saying, my education is, you know, I have a PhD or whatever you got. Listen, so I'm a little too big for this gospel. I challenge you. Read the Bible. You see, I'm tired of folks telling me I don't believe the Bible. The Bible is too full of mistakes. The Bible is too full of contradictions. You see, I'm tired of that, because every time I ask somebody who tells me that, could you please show me one of the contradictions? Do you know I have yet to anybody to show it to me? Because people tell you that they've never read the Bible. And so I challenge you, if you're one of those young people or older ones who say, oh, I don't believe this Bible, I dare you. Read the Bible. I dare you. Honestly, read the Bible this year and come back to me at the end of this year and show me the contradictions that you have found in this book. This book, this gospel, has the power to stand up to any test. Amen. But third, this gospel has power to save the elite. Do you know that some rich people feel that the gospel is only for poor folks? As they said, people who don't have anything down here, so they're looking for pie in the sky. Well, I'm glad there's some pie in the sky. But I'm in telling you, I'm sort of enjoying the goodness of God right here. Amen? But you know, it's very hard for rich people to get saved. I don't think we realize that. This is one of the reasons why, you know, there are some who believe we should only minister in certain neighborhoods. No. Listen, GCA, we want to reach everybody. We want to reach the person in the poorest project. We want to reach the guy up there in Chestnut Hill sitting in his mansion. We realize it's very hard to reach him, but we are determined to reach him as well. Amen? But it's hard. Here's what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 25. Jesus says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I probably have said in the past that, some say that the eye of a needle was a special gate. To be honest, many of the commentators say there's really no evidence to suggest that that is the case, that they're just showing, Jesus is showing the impossibility or the seeming impossibility of the situation. And that is why in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the next verse, it talks about when the people heard this, they asked Jesus, then who can be saved? I mean, you mean to tell me no rich people can get saved? Because certainly, this camel with this big hump, he certainly can't go through a needle's eye. And Jesus says, what seems impossible to man is possible with God. But listen, it is not easy for rich people to get saved. But look here, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, reading at verse 1. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks. and not a few prominent women, some big shot, high class, rich women had joined the wagon to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But read on. By the time we get now to verse 34, I could give you several other illustrations, but I'm only picking a couple from this particular missionary journey. By the time we get to 34, a few men became followers of Paul. Thank God a few men came. You notice in the previous verse it says, now a few prominent women. Guys, why are we so tough? It's hard for a rich man to get saved. But sometimes it seems to me it's hard for a man to get saved because for whatever reason, well, that's another message. But I'm here in verse number 34. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus. This is the high court. This is the big boys. Also a woman named Damaris and a number of others. This gospel is able to save the elite. Perhaps you're here this morning. Perhaps I'm talking to somebody with a fat bank account, a good IRA. You know why it's so hard for a rich person to get saved? Do you know why it is? Because their possessions. A young executive was driving his BMW in the mountains during a snowstorm. As he rounded a turn, the vehicle slid out of control towards a cliff. At the last moment, he was able to jump from the car just before it went over the cliff. Although he escaped, his arm was torn off at the shoulder. A trucker saw it and stopped to try and help him. And to his surprise, when the trucker got over to the man is looking over. He's at the cliff and he's looking over. And he said, oh no, my BMW, my BMW. The trucker pointed to his shoulder and he said to him, man, it looks like you got bigger problems than your BMW. The executive looked at his shoulder and he realized his arm was gone. He started crying, oh no, my Rolex! My Rolex! The arm that went over the cliff was the one with the Rolex! Is stuff your problem?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.